Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And it's really good to be here in the studio with my brother Ed today. It's Sunday, 7 p.m., and you can catch us here every Sunday on New Visions Radio at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. I almost forgot it again, Ed. I do that nearly every time. And I just want to say that if you want to visit us online, we have a website, don't we, Ed? What is that?
Yes, at prophecyhope.com.
Yep, and you can join us there. We meet every Saturday morning, which is the biblical Sabbath.
We meet at 9:30 in the morning for our Bible study time, and then 11 o'clock is our worship hour.
And that's Eastern time.
Yes.
So just so you know, anytime we give you a time here, it's always Eastern time USA. And you can live stream there. And also, if you go to our website, which is prophecyhope.com, if you go to that website, there's a number of sermons there. You can also find some archived radio programs there. And New Visions Radio also sometimes will rerun some of those if we're not in the studio. You can hear some of those.
Yeah, also we have a Wednesday night Bible study as
well. We do. Yes, that's right.
And actually, if you're really interested in joining us on a one-to-one interaction, we do have a Zoom portion of that. And if you want that link, just contact Mark at
mark@prophecyhope.com.
Or you can contact me at ed@prophecyhope.com, and we can send you that link.
Yeah, if you can't remember, sometimes people don't remember our names, and that's quite fine. And if that's the case, you can reach us at office@prophecyhope.com. We do check those every week. We don't check them necessarily every day, but we will get your email, and we will reply. And also, that Zoom study, it's really interactive because a lot of people get to ask questions, and it's topical sometimes. We might go from one topic to another. Sometimes we're just doing Bible verses. We might have a particular study in a particular book of the Bible. And right now, this is January of 2023, we're in John chapter 15.
Yeah.
15 and 16 is where we are. So, and the but we would love to have you join us even on the weekends on the biblical Sabbath. And I just want to say, before we get started here in this Bible study, I want to thank Ray Powers for all that he does for us. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. We've been on the air now. This year will be 9 years. It's unbelievable that it's been that long. And Ray, we're just really grateful for you keeping us on the air. And when we can't get here in the studio to do a program, he always reruns something for us. So every Sunday night, he keeps us on here. And the other thing is, today we're going to be talking particularly about God's law,
yes,
aren't we? And because this keeps coming up. It comes up more and more. And it seems that the more lawless the world gets, the more this topic comes up. But before we begin, we always like to start with a word of prayer. So I'm going to ask Brother Ed if he would pray for us.
Sure. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father in heaven, we're grateful for this time we can come together and to open your word and to see what information you have for us, information you want us to know, information that will affect our lives. Father, as we look at the world around us, we see chaos, we see disregard for human life, we see disregard for each other. Mm-hmm. And Father, please open your word to us today to show us the way that you would like us to live. And we can find much information about that in your word. And so, Father, give us wisdom and knowledge as we study, and send us the Spirit of truth to guide us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that prayer. You know, it's so true. As the world goes on, it just seems like people become more and more lawless.
You know, Mark, I was listening to a sermon about a week ago.
That's right.
A friend of mine was speaking. And he was talking about the law. And, you know, I tend to like to keep current on what's going on in the world today.
Sure.
And it seems like even just this year, that we're only in January, that there's more and more disregard, not only for God's law, but for the law of the land.
Yeah, it's so true. It's so true. And, you know, that's the thing. You and I come from different backgrounds.
Yes.
And you have always been in tune, because you were raised this way, with understanding the commandments of God and what they are,
right,
and recognizing that there is a law of God, and in the Bible there is a law of Moses, and that was new to me. It never occurred to me until, well, it's been about 20 years ago now, but it's still very new to me. And maybe this is what we should talk about today. Right. What's the difference?
So let me ask you a question. The sure. law of God, what does that refer to?
Well, my understanding of the Bible is that the law of God refers to the Ten Commandments that were actually, they were given publicly to Moses audibly and told and written down in the book of Exodus.
Okay.
But we know that those commandments existed even before that. And there was a sermon about that a few weeks ago as well. And so maybe, I don't know, where should we start? Should we start with...
Well, can we define what the Ten Commandments are?
Yes. I think the great place, the first place we find them in the Bible is in the book of Exodus. And I know that many of you, we've talked about this in the past, but it's been years since we've talked about this topic. And because things are cyclical and we see the world spiraling downward, it's a good time to review these things. Exodus chapter 20. And go ahead.
So let's just give a little bit of introduction, some context to what's happened here in Exodus 20.
Sure.
So the children of Israel, they were in bondage in Egypt.
Yes.
And so Moses, God through Moses, brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of bondage. But they had been in Egypt, and they had been exposed to the gods of Egypt
yes.
and their worship of those gods of Egypt. And they basically had lost track of the relationship with God. So here, God through Moses is giving the children of Israel some idea of his character, of his way of that he wants them to live through the laws that we call the Ten Commandments. And so maybe we can just read through this quickly and so people can get an understanding of what this includes.
Yeah, I think that would be a great idea. So as Ed mentioned, these people, they had assimilated all of the, I guess we could call it, doctrines and ways
yes.
of the Egyptians.
Right.
And they had began to live a lifestyle because they had been there for generations. This was 430 years approximately from the time that they were taken captive and held. So you can imagine over that period of time, you've adopted all of the ways
right.
of the culture that you've lived in. So where? How did you want to do this, Ed? You want to start here in chapter 20 of Exodus?
Yeah. Let's just start with verse 1.
And what translation are you using?
This is the modern King James Version.
Okay.
And as we go through this, it's important to notice that the commandments are kind of divided. The first four talk about God's law relating to himself.
Yes.
And the last six talk about how we should relate to each other.
Yes,
so maybe we can just start with the first four. Can I just read the first
Absolutely,
four?
Absolutely, please.
All right. This is, again, the modern King James Version. It starts in verse 1. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am Jehovah, your God, who has brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Here is the first commandment. You shall not have no other gods before me. Verse 4, you shall not make to yourself any graven image or any likeness of anything that is on in the heavens above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Verse 5, you shall not bow yourself down to them nor serve them. For I, Jehovah your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the sons to the third and fourth generation to those that hate me. Mm. And showing mercy to thousands of those that love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of Jehovah your God in vain, for Jehovah will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Jehovah your God. You shall not do any work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger within your gates. For in 6 days Jehovah made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore Jehovah blessed the Sabbath day and sanctified it. Hmm. So here in these first four commandments we see what our relationship with God should look like.
Yes, that's right. It's very specific, isn't it?
Yes.
You notice these first four commandments, they're long. Mm-hmm. They're long. And so he's being very specific in what he expects. You know, and I think for anyone who is, if we're going to work for someone, they need to be specific on what they expect of us.
Right.
And God is doing that. This is what, if you're going to worship me, God says, this is what I expect.
So we can see in this kind of a commandments that talk about our relationship with God, it says that God is our rightful authority in our life in that he created the heavens and the earth.
Right.
He created us. And he has specific ideas and requirements. If the person that gives me life, and I don't acknowledge him, I acknowledge another God, another, quote, deity, mm-hmm. should I expect God's blessings in my life?
No. You know, that really goes along with the very next commandment.
Okay.
Because who is it that brought us into this world? It's our parents.
Right.
Right? So, you know, God is not asking anything for us to give him anything other than just exclusive devotion, really, and obedience.
So these next six commandments, you want to read those for us?
Sure. Yes.
And it's really about our interaction with each other.
Yeah, so if we look at beginning in verse 12, and I'm reading from the New King James, it says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." Verse 13, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's." And that's the last of the Ten Commandments.
So, some people, maybe a lot of people even, feel that God's law has been done away with. You hear that a lot.
I do.
In Christian churches, you hear that a lot, that God's law has been done away with.
I hear that. That's how I grew up, Ed. I grew up being taught that when Jesus died, that all of the law was wiped away and that we live by the spirit of the law, is how it's put.
Okay, I'm not really sure what that means, but, you know, when I look at these commandments of God, mm-hmm. they were given for our benefit.
Absolutely.
For our protection. How can I expect to receive the blessings from God that he wants to give us,
right,
if I don't acknowledge who he is, if I take his name in vain, if I worship other gods, if I don't honor the day that he set aside, that he sanctified and blessed, and if I kill my fellow human being,
right,
if I steal from them, if I commit adultery, with
right.
those things all bring tragedy not only into my life, but to the
else's.
Other people that are affected as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. That's right.
And so these are given to protect us, to give us a better way of life, to make us a happier life.
Yes. You know, it's interesting. And, you know, some people, I don't find this offensive at all, but when we look at the first four commandments, they go vertical. They go up to God,
yes.
because we're worshiping God.
Right.
When I look at the last of the Ten Commandments, the sixth, they're horizontal. They go out to humanity. So when we look at that, it's actually, we see actually a cross there. And this is how we come to God, is through the blood of Christ. So it's really beautiful to me when I think about it that way. And even when Jesus summed up the Ten Commandments, he gave the two greatest commandments, and we can find that. Let me see if I can. I know we've got this here. I believe it's in the book of Matthew. The two greatest commandments. I know what they are, but I want to share them.
Matthew 22, maybe?
That might be it. Let me turn there real quick. Matthew chapter 22. Let's see if that's where we find them. And do you know which verse that
yeah,
is?
Yeah, if we want to look at verses, maybe starting with 34 through 40.
Okay. You want to read that or you want me to read
it? Sure, I can read it. Again, this is the Modern King James. Verse 34. But hearing that he had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees were gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Let me stop here. Mm-hmm. Is this lawyer asking him, what new commandments do you have for us?
No. What's happening here? This is interesting because the Pharisees and the Sadducees were at odds with one another. And here they are. They've come together because they're trying to entrap Jesus. They're trying to trick him.
So he saw that the Sadducee didn't succeed. So now it was his turn to take a shot at Jesus.
That's right.
And so he's saying, Master, what is the great commandment in the law? The law that's already established.
Absolutely.
He didn't ask about a new law.
They knew what this law was.
Yeah. So verse 37, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
That's right. So what's that? When I think about that, if I love my God with all my heart, all my soul, and all my mind, then I'm not going to have another God.
Yeah,
I'm
not going to
worship Him.
Yeah.
Right? Not a false God, not
right.
another God. If I love Him with all my heart, soul, and mind, then I'm not going to bow to an image or carve an image to represent Him. Because gold and silver and wood and stone cannot represent the one true God.
They don't speak.
They don't.
They can't do anything.
That's right. And then I'm not going to blaspheme His name. And we're not just talking about the name Jehovah or Yahweh. It doesn't just mean the word, does it, Ed?
Taking God's name in vain is maligning His character.
Yes, that's right.
Trying to make God someone who He isn't.
Attributing something to God that He is not.
Right.
And then, of course, the fourth commandment, which is one that many Christians seem to overlook, is if I love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, according to the first commandment Jesus gave here, I'm going to keep His Sabbath day holy.
Yeah.
So the first commandment, Jesus is summing up the four, as you said earlier.
You know, when you look at the fourth commandment, the commandment about the Sabbath day, acknowledging the day that God made holy acknowledges Him as our Creator.
Yes, it does.
As His rightful authority in our life, because He created us.
That's right.
And the world.
And it identifies Him. When we do that, it identifies that that's the God we worship.
Right.
Right? And so the second commandment, he said that the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and the second is to love your neighbor as yourself.
So what I hear you saying is what Jesus is talking about, two great commandments, the first and the second. The first one refers to the first four of the Ten Commandments.
Yes.
Where we're honoring and loving God by doing those things.
That vertical relationship.
And that second commandment, love your neighbor as yourself, is actually talking about the last six in the Ten Commandments,
right.
Where it affects our relationship with each other.
That's it. And so all He was doing was He was simply making it easy. And they knew that there was nothing they could do to Him. Because He had summed up everything in just two.
Can I give you another illustration of that idea that Jesus is talking about, the Ten Commandments here?
Absolutely.
We go to Romans chapter 13.
Okay, Romans 13.
And I'm going to read verses 8 through 10. And this is the King James Version that I'm reading here.
Okay.
It says, owe no man anything but love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. This is Paul speaking.
That's right.
And so let's continue on. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
That's right.
Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law.
Okay.
He's talking about the Ten Commandments.
Absolutely.
He's naming them one by one.
That's right.
And so here we see this idea that to love your neighbor is to keep God's Ten Commandments, listing the last six in terms of our relationship with each other.
That's right. So he's pointing out here that, you know, most people, when they say, when they go to church, they don't have a problem with revering God. Most people, they go to church because they have a reverence. But the problem that we have a lot of times is how we treat others, how we treat those around us. And I'll be honest, this is something that, you know, when somebody doesn't treat me right, I have a hard time with that. And it's something that I have to work on. You know, Jesus tells us to pray for those who are persecuting us, to pray for our enemies.
Right.
That's hard to do. That's hard to do. But this is what's encompassed within the Ten Commandments.
Right.
And it's part of this love your neighbor as yourself. And that's not a new commandment either. In fact, Leviticus 19 and verse 18, and this is from the modern King James, it says, "You shall not avenge nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am Jehovah." That's from Leviticus. This is way before Jesus came here to earth.
Right.
And so that's not a new commandment that he's giving us.
You know, sometimes we look at God's word and we look at through the lens of our current understanding or what our church teaches or what our pastor preaches versus actually looking and seeing the words on the page.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible talks about the law of liberty.
Yes, it does. And James, is that where that
is? Yes. And this word liberty is also used in Galatians chapter 5. I want to read that first and then take us to James, okay?
Okay, sure.
When I look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, and I'm going to maybe read around that a little bit.
Yeah, please, give us a little context.
In verse 13... it says this. Let me just read this first. This is, again, in the modern King James. It says, "For brothers, you are called to liberty. Only do not use the liberty for an opening to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you are not consumed by one another." We're called to liberty. Liberty in fulfilling the law of God in our lives.
That's right.
Liberty to do the works that God created us to do when he first created the world.
You know, it's also liberty, Ed, in the fact that I'm liberated from the problems that breaking the law brings to my life.
Yes.
Because when I go against these laws, it causes other troubles in my life.
Right.
So keeping the commandments of God liberates me from all of the things that I see here. If I steal from somebody, there's consequences.
Right.
If I commit adultery with somebody, there's horrible consequences. If I murder someone, all of these things. So the law of liberty keeps me in check and keeps my relationship with God.
Christ came to give us liberty from those very things you're just talking about. From experiencing the results of sin, which is transgression of God's law. Mm. When we sin, when we break God's law, there are consequences.
Absolutely.
And some of those are long-lasting.
Yeah, some of them aren't immediate, and sometimes we won't suffer the consequence today.
Right.
It might come down the road. And sometimes they will last for the rest of your life.
So James talks about this law as well.
Yes, he does. And James chapter 1, is this where you were going?
Yes.
James chapter 1. And I'm for context, I want to start in verse 21.
I was going to say 19.
Oh, okay. But, yeah, no, that's good.
All right.
That's good. You want me to read that?
Yes, please.
New King James. And James 1:19, it says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. and he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, there it is.
Yeah.
But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not for a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. That's powerful.
Yeah.
Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world.
So verse 25 mm-hmm. talks about looking into the perfect law of liberty, to compare our lives, like looking in a mirror.
That's right.
To see what we're like, to see how we reflect or don't reflect the law of God in our lives.
So true.
And, you know, it doesn't say just to look into the law of liberty, but also says continue in it.
That's right. Continue in it. It's yeah. It's a lifestyle, is mm-hmm. what I'm hearing you say. That's what this is saying. And so, yeah, so many times, you know, we look in the mirror and we see ourselves. Do we see everything as we really are?
Right. That can be painful to do. But it's necessary.
That's right. And sometimes we look, we don't like what we see.
Right.
And sometimes we look and we say, you know, I'm not too bad today. But it's a good, this is the litmus test for, are we living our lives according to what God expects of
right.
us? He does have expectations. And the problem today, Ed, and I see this, we kind of touched on it earlier, is we live in a world where we want to live our lives the way we want to live
right.
them. And we don't want to suffer the consequences of whatever our action is that may go against God's law.
You know, I think sometimes we're convinced, we're influenced by people, sometimes religious people, sometimes mm-hmm. churches, sometimes ministers, that the law of God isn't important, that we're okay to do what we want to do, that we're good, that we've been saved, and we're okay. We can live our life any way we want to.
Right.
But that's simply not true.
You're right.
You know, sometimes we look at outward appearances.
Oh, we all do. I know I do.
Without a true change of our heart that enables us to want to be obedient to God. You know, we have this influence of the world, or we can have the influence of God and His Son in our lives.
That's right.
We can't have both.
You're right.
You know, but sometimes we have this external facade, this mm-hmm. mask. There's a song, a contemporary Christian song called The Change.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about, okay, I have this bracelet on my wrist that says, what would Jesus do on it?
Right.
I have this cross around my neck. I have this bumper sticker on my car that says, honk if you love Jesus.
Right.
I have this Bible in my hand. But what difference does it make in my life? What about the change these things are supposed to make in my life?
Amen.
The change in my character, how I treat each other, how I interact with God and His Son.
Yes.
What about the change?
So what I hear you saying is we can fool people around us by the things that we wear and maybe things externally.
Right.
But the change has to come from within.
Yeah.
It has to be internal.
And only God can cause that change to happen through sending the Spirit of His Son into our hearts.
Yes, it's so important. And this is, you know, we look at these commandments and we think, well, these commandments, they're so tough, they're hard. Some of them are really difficult mm-hmm. because Jesus actually holds us more accountable when He says, when He says, you've heard it was said, you shall not commit adultery, but I'm telling you that if you look at a woman so as to have a desire for her, you've committed adultery in your heart. And He's saying, this is wrong.
Yes.
And so this is what you're talking about, the change.
Yes.
It's inward. It's not just how I respond externally. It has to come from within, because worship begins in the mind.
Yes.
And sin begins in our mind.
Right.
This is what caused the devil to deceive Eve. He had in his mind a certain thinking pattern that wasn't right.
Let's talk a little bit more about this law of liberty.
Sure.
Let's go to James chapter 2.
Okay.
And if you could read, maybe Mark, if you could read verses 7 through 13.
Okay, this is James 2, beginning in verse 7. It says, "Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law," it's called the royal law, yeah, "according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, 'Do not commit adultery,' also said, 'Do not murder.' Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." Is that what you wanted me to read?
Yes, the law of liberty is referring to the Ten Commandments.
Absolutely, and it clarifies that by talking about a couple of them,
yes,
right there in the context.
Yeah.
So these commandments are still valid.
Yes. So, you know, I think we need to ask this question. I'm sure a lot of people have this question in their mind. How can I possibly keep these commandments if I'm really honest about the struggles I have with my life?
Yeah, that's true. How do I do it?
Yeah.
Where can we go in the Bible to help us with that, Ed?
Well, you know, it's maybe we can go to Hebrews.
Okay. All right. Is there a particular chapter you have in mind?
Maybe chapter 8.
Hebrews chapter 8. Okay, because, you know, this is interesting, and there's so many things. I'm sure this particular program will be several parts.
Yes.
Because there's so much information here. And I think that also we need to establish, too, as time goes on, is there a difference between God's law and the law,
yes,
of Moses?
Yeah.
So here in Hebrews, you know, this speaks of a new covenant, doesn't,
yes,
it?
But before we get, I want to switch up. But let's go to Hebrews 2 first and,
okay,
then go to Hebrews 8.
Okay, that's
because
fine.
Because it gives us a little information about Jesus, who is our high priest that it talks about in Hebrews chapter 8.
All right.
And Mark, I know this is a lot of reading.
That's okay.
But maybe you can read verses 9 through the end of the chapter.
Hebrews chapter 2, beginning in verse 9.
Yes.
Okay, here we go. It says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, 'I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. I will sing praise to you.' And again, 'I will put my trust in him.' And again, 'Here am I and the children whom God has given me.'" Verse 14. "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, and he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted."
You know, this tells us that Christ was made lower than the angels.
Yes.
That he was made in all ways like us. That he was partaken of flesh and blood.
Like we are.
Yes. Yet he, through sufferings, learned obedience. And he was perfected as the captain of our salvation through sufferings.
Yes.
He was tempted in all ways like we were, yet without sin.
Mm-hmm.
He, through his faith that he had in his Father, overcame sin and thus is the captain of our salvation. Thus he's able to rescue us in our time of need when That's we're right. being tempted. Now the King James says verse 16 a little bit differently than yours.
Okay.
Yes, I mean the modern King James says, "For truly he did not take on the nature of angels, but he took hold of the seed of Abraham. He's considered the son of Abraham, just as considered the son of David,
because he comes from their lineage."
Yes,
right.
And it shows the human component of Christ,
the
life
son of
on
God.
This earth.
Yeah. Because he's the son of God and he's the son of man, and this. What we're seeing here is this is what causes Jesus to be the Son of Man, right. that he is the seed of Abraham.
Right. So now let's go to Hebrews chapter 8.
Okay.
And see what it has to say about the law and how Christ is our high priest.
All right.
So I'm going to start reading here, if you don't mind.
No, that's fine. Hebrews 8, what verse?
I'm going to start in verse 1.
Okay.
Again, modern King James. "Now the sum of the things which you have spoken is this. We have such a high priest who has sat down on the right of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister of the sanctuary of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. Therefore it is necessary that the one having something to offer also. For if indeed he were on earth, he would be a priest. He would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law, who serve the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was warned of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he says, 'See that you make all things according to the pattern shown in the mountain.'" So here we're talking about a sanctuary in heaven,
yes,
where Christ is the high priest, whom the earthly sanctuary was patterned after.
Yeah, the earthly sanctuary was given to the Israelites after they came out of Egypt and after the Ten Commandments were given there audibly.
Right.
So then God said, "Make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them."
Right.
So what we had on earth at that time was a pattern of what you just are showing us here in Hebrews.
And not only the sanctuary, the physical sanctuary itself, but the services of that earthly sanctuary were a type or a shadow of heavenly things.
That's right. They were pointing to things that God would do for us.
Now, we've been talking about the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm.
And these Ten Commandments were involved in a covenant that God made at the time the commandments were given.
Yeah, a covenant is an agreement or a contract, right?
Right.
So there's two parties involved. So just like whenever I give a covenant to somebody, if I give them a covenant, we both have to agree.
Right. And so in this first covenant, or some people call it the old covenant, mm-hmm. that happened at the time the Ten Commandments were given on Mount Sinai, God is saying, these are commandments. If you do these commandments, I'll protect you.
That's
I'll
right.
watch over you. You can enter into my rest if you do that. The rest from your enemies, rest from famine, rest from all the evils that people experience in this world.
That's right.
And the people's response was,
"We will do all that you ask."
Yeah.
"All that you say we shall do." That's how it's worded.
So let's go back to Hebrews 8 and verse 6 I'm going to start with here.
Okay.
"But now he, being Jesus, has obtained a more excellent ministry. By so much, he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which was built upon better promises. Mm. For if that first covenant had been without fault," talking about this covenant at the time of the giving of the Ten Commandments,
right.
"if that first covenant had been without fault, then no place would have been sought for the second. But finding fault with them, he said to them, 'Behold, days are coming, says the Lord, I will make an end to the house of Israel, and on the house of Judah a new covenant shall be, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day I took hold of their hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I did not regard them, says the Lord.'" I want to stop here. That word covenant,
right?
You already gave us a definition, but I want you to repeat that definition. What is a covenant?
It's a contract or an agreement between two parties.
Okay. So when we're talking about a covenant here, it is not talking about the law.
Okay.
The covenant has to deal with the agreement that God had with his people and his law, but the covenant that's being done with, it doesn't mean the law is being done away with. It's that agreement is being done away with. Why? Because they didn't continue it. The people didn't continue it.
They broke the contract.
They broke it.
By disobedience.
God's law is still the same.
Absolutely.
But their inability or their lack of desire to keep it,
right,
is why the covenant was found to have a fault.
It's like if you rent a property and you sign a contract between you and the landlord and you break that contract, that's your fault. That's not the landlord's fault. You have broken the contract.
And there's consequences. God said, you know, as long as you do these things, you know, I'll watch
stay.
Over you.
I'll take care of you.
Yeah. So they stopped doing these things and he stopped taking care of them.
Right.
So when we read in verse 9 that because they did not continue in my covenant and I did not regard them, says the Lord. So now continuing in verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them into their hearts, and I will be their God and they shall be my people.
Okay.
So this is the new covenant. It's the same law.
So let me ask you this, Ed. The first covenant, the old covenant that was given, you're telling me, and I agree, it's the same law. What was the first covenant written on?
It was written on tablets of stone.
Well, can we look at that real quick?
Sure.
Let's take a look. Exodus chapter 31, to go along with what Ed is saying here. This is what it says, and I'm reading this from the New King James. It says, and when he had made an end of speaking with him on Sinai, this is when he was giving the commandments, he gave Moses two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. And then that's repeated again, because what happened was Moses actually came down off of the mountain and he saw the people. They were breaking God's law.
Yeah, they were worshiping another god.
They were worshiping a calf, weren't they? And he threw those tablets down and it busted them. So God says, go back up on the mountain, and here's what it says. And Jehovah said to Moses, this is Exodus 34:1, cut out two tablets of stone like the first, and I will write upon the tablets the words that were in the first tablets which you broke. So the thing is, the first two tablets, God carved himself, cut them out of the rock or stone, and he carved them. He actually wrote the commandments there. Well, when Moses broke them, this time Moses had to cut the stone out of the mountain, but God still wrote on them.
You know what that tells me?
What's that?
You can try to do away with God's commandments, but he'll keep writing them.
That's a great point. That's a great point. And, you know, the other thing, too, is we look at that, these two tables of stone and how they were written. But the problem is they're things that I look at and I can say, well, I have to do this.
Yeah.
But where you've taken us to is I have to do this. How do I do this? This is where we come to a difference between the old covenant and the new covenant.
So it was evident to God that this first covenant wasn't working because the children, his people, were not following him. They were breaking his commandments.
That's right.
And so he says, you know, how can I fix this problem?
Hmm.
So he says, this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they should be my people.
So
God has taken his law, the Ten Commandments,
that were written on stone.
That were written on stone, and now he has written them in your and my hearts and mind, if we are willing to accept them.
Now, is that a new idea? Is that something that's just a New Testament thought?
No.
No. That goes all the way back to the Old Testament in Jeremiah.
Jeremiah, yeah.
Yeah. Chapter 31. Can we look at that
real
quick?
Yes, please, yeah. Okay, Mark, where in Jeremiah 31 are you taking us?
Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. It's easy to remember. 31:31.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And let's see. Do I need to back up? No, actually, it starts right here. Jeremiah 31:31. And in my Bible, it has little subheadings. And it says here, this is in the Old Testament. It says, a new covenant.
Yeah.
That's the heading.
Yeah.
So I look at this, and here's what it says. Did you want me to read that?
Yes, please.
Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And it goes on. It says, no more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more.
So here we have the two covenants.
Yes.
The old covenant, which was the agreement. Remember, a covenant is an agreement. It's like a contract, a
right.
legal document. It's not the law. The first covenant was done away with because the people were, through weakness of the flesh, the Bible tells us, were unable to keep the law.
Right.
So now God is making a change. He has a new agreement.
Yes.
A new covenant that he would write his laws in our hearts and minds, and that he would be our God and we would be his people.
And it doesn't say it's a different law.
Right.
What makes it different is that now it's not on stones, but it's written on our hearts, which you talked about that song, Where's the Change?
Yes.
This is how the change can take place.
Yes.
By God's law being in us. You know, it always reminds me of, you know, when I was a kid, the teacher might make you write something on the board. And just writing a rule on the board, you know, I will not walk in the hallway, doesn't mean I'm not going to walk in the hallway during class.
Yeah.
I have to desire to do that or just simply do it.
Right.
Having it on the board doesn't change anything.
Right.
But if I have it in my heart, chances are I'm not going to
right.
disobey.
So the next question that comes to my mind is, how does God write his law in my heart and my mind?
Oh, that's a good question.
Let's go to a text in Ezekiel.
Okay.
Chapter 36. And remember, even though we're in the Old Testament, it's still talking about this new covenant.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Yeah.
How the Bible all goes together?
Right.
What chapter was that again?
36.
36, okay.
And I want to read verses 25 through 27. And this is, again, the modern King James Version of the Bible.
Okay.
Verse 25. And I will sprinkle clean waters on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from your idols. And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them.
Wow.
It's through the Spirit of God that empowers us to keep his law that he writes on our hearts and minds.
You know, I love what it says here, because we were just talking about God's commandments being carved in stone.
Right.
And then in your translation and in mine, it says, I will take your heart of stone.
Yes.
And I will put a new heart in you,
yeah.
one that can be
molded,
and yeah. one that's malleable, that can be changed,
yeah.
that will help us to change to the character of Christ Jesus,
right?
And that's how we can be a part of this new covenant.
Right.
And so the contract is within, it's not external now.
Right.
So this is how the change takes place.
Right.
What a beautiful thing, you know, when we think about that. So when we think about that, it's not that the commandments have changed. It's the location of the commandments.
Right.
Instead of being external, it becomes a part of who we are. It changes our character.
Yeah, and I want people to be clear on the understanding of this word covenant. The covenant refers to the contract to the agreement. It's not referring to the law. The law wasn't done away with. When people talk about the old covenant was done away with, or as Paul says in Hebrews, assuming Paul wrote Hebrews,
right.
that it fades away.
Yes. And so, and this is something that's very much misunderstood. A lot of people believe that when Jesus died, that he did away with the law. But, you know, he talks about this. He talks about coming to fulfill the law. Yeah. And when, in your mind, Ed, what does that word, when we talk about fulfilling it, what does that mean to you?
It means several different things.
Okay.
For one thing, he came to fulfill God's law and that he was obedient to it.
Oh,
he
kept the law. That's right.
Also, it refers to the services of the Old Testament sanctuary, talking about receiving forgiveness with the sacrifices that were presented during the services of the old sanctuary, the old tabernacle in the wilderness,
right,
which pointed to what Christ would come to do. He came to fulfill those things with his sacrifice of his life on the cross.
Yeah, let's look at a text in Matthew. This is actually when he's beginning the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, because I think it's important that we understand this and,
right,
and know this. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus says, "Do not think I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill."
So some people say that Christ came to fulfill the law, and in fulfilling it, that he did away or destroyed the law.
Right.
Can you read that?
Yes. In fact, I'll just tell the story. Yeah. I had a friend one time when I was first studying this, and I came to realize that the Ten Commandments are still intact.
Yeah.
And that was new to me. I mean, I always believed you should keep them, but I thought they were wiped away. So I said to my friend, I said, "Look," I said, "when Jesus came, it says, 'Do not think I came to destroy the law or the prophets.' I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." I says, "What does that word fulfill mean?" And he looked at me and he says, "Well, that means to do away with or destroy." I said, "Well, let me use your word."
Yeah.
And so I read it and I said, "I did not come to destroy the law, but to destroy it." And he says, "That doesn't make sense, does it?" I said, "No, it doesn't." Right. So, but look at the whole text. "Do not think that I came," this is Matthew 5:17.
Right.
"Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled."
Yeah. So far we've talked about the law of God, about the covenants that God created, and how we can have his law in our hearts and minds,
yes,
through the Spirit of God in us. So let's go a little bit farther. How do we get the Spirit of God in us?
Oh, that's a good question, Ed.
Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2.
Okay. All right.
And I want to start in verse 13. Ephesians chapter 2, again, this is the modern King James Version. Mm-hmm. It starts out, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who are once afar off are made near by the blood of Christ." In this chapter, Paul is contrasting the Jews and the Gentiles. Those,
right,
that are far off are considered the Gentiles. "For he is our peace," talking about Christ, "he making us both one. And he has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity of the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that he in himself might be made the two into one new man, making, mm-hmm, peace between them." We'll come back to that. "And so that he might reconcile both to God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity in himself. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near, the Jews and Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father," the Spirit of Christ. We have access to the Father.
Right.
"Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom every building, having been fitly framed together, grows into a holy sanctuary in the Lord, in whom you are also built together for the dwelling place of God through the Spirit."
Hmm.
So it is Christ, we have access to the Father by the Spirit of Christ,
mm-hmm,
that one Spirit. He is the foundation of this new sanctuary
yes.
that he talked about in John chapter 2, that he's building, together with himself being the foundation as well as the apostles and prophets, in whom we are part of that building that is being built together for a dwelling place of God through the Spirit.
So what I hear you saying is the Old Testament sanctuary was a picture of Christ and what he would do for us.
Yes.
And actually it is pictorial also of the indwelling Christ.
Yes.
That we are the temple of the Spirit of God is what yes. we're told in the Bible, isn't it?
In John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life."
Amen.
"No one can come to the Father except through me."
Right.
So here we see this whole gospel story coming together, that God desires for us to experience the ability to keep his commandments, commandments that will benefit us.
Absolutely.
That will make life better for us, that now we can be in an acceptable condition to be in the presence of God, that God can dwell in us through his Spirit.
Right.
Because Christ is in us.
Yes. You know, we've talked about this in the past, and I think we need to come back to that again at some time in the near future. But what I would like to do, you know, we're almost out of time. This is unbelievable.
Okay.
And what I would like to do is next week when we come back, we can pick up here where we left off, but we need to look at the Ten Commandments and the Law of Moses. Is there a difference between the Law of God and the Law of Moses? What is the separation? Has either one been wiped away, as
right.
so many people like? They like to use that word, wiped away.
Yeah.
What do these laws mean to us? Do they have any effect on us today?
You know, I just want to say this real quickly.
Sure.
I learned some new things within this last week about this subject that you just said we need to talk about next week.
Wow. So this will be exciting. I hope you share some of those
and
things.
And so I want to encourage everybody. We are continuing to learn new things about God's Word.
Absolutely.
So don't feel bad if you don't think you know everything about God's Word, because we don't know everything either.
That's exactly right.
So continue your study in God's Word.
Amen. Friends, this is all the time we have for today, so we need to close with a word of prayer, and then we'll sign off. And I'm really glad that you were here. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday, 7 p.m. here on New Visions Radio. That's Eastern Time, USA. So let's close with a word of prayer, shall we? Father in heaven, thank you so much for your word, for your commandments, for your law. Father, help us to become changed. We ask that you will put that new heart in us, that we can be your servants, that we can do your will. We ask for your Spirit to be with us as we go through this new week, and we pray for your blessing until we come together again. And we pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Ed, thank you for being here. It's so good to be together in the studio.
Yes.
And friends, we hope to see you next week. And until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.